This is the Tom Likas Show.
Women love to say they're independent.
Fantastic. Now, from the New Normal Studios in Burbank.
Dump that bitch.
Tom Likas.
Thank you for tuning into the Tom Likas Show. From the New Normal Studios in Burbank, this is where you hear us live. Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time. 24-7 at Tom.show. You can hear us at our free app. Get it at the App Store. Get it at Google Play. Or get it at TomEverywhere.com. That's TomEverywhere.com. Thank you for tuning in. Thanks for being part of the program. We appreciate it. Here we are together again. It's you. It's me. It's a bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. And joining us in studio over this bonus hour, as he does every Tuesday, is family law attorney Adam Sachs.
Hey, great to be here, Tom.
What's going on in the family law world?
Well, Tom, I got to tell you, a lot of guys would like to believe that they found themselves, a unicorn,
Right.
I was talking to a guy today, and he started telling, I was giving him some, scenarios. He wants to adopt his stepchild. He married a single mother, and he loves her kid or whatever. And I said, that's cool, but it sounds like a nice thing. It's very selfless of a person to do that. But I just kind of threw a couple of scenarios at him. I said, what if you guys, start fighting? What if you get divorced? What if the kid's father shows up and starts making a scene or whatever? And he says to me, what every guy says, oh, yeah, my woman isn't like that.
Of course.
She's different. So that's where we say she's a unicorn.
Right.
Now, I know this sounds crazy, and this is disconnected from reality, but, there's Brad Pitt,
yeah.
Okay? Brad Pitt is a very successful guy. He's got a lot of money. He's famous. He's got all the stuff that everyone wants. He's real good-looking, I think. I'm not really into boys, but I'm told he's gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of women think so.
Right.
And the quote that I just read about him, with respect to his custody and visitation situation and his divorce, is he said, I can't believe this is happening to my life. How did this happen to me? And guys, if it could happen to Brad Pitt, it can happen to you.
Right?
I mean, that's the bottom line.
In fact, if it can happen to Brad Pitt, it's even more likely to happen to you.
I hate to say it, but that's true too. And he is much more in the position to fight back, to have the money for a big fight,
right,
to have the energy and the time to deal with it. And he is supposedly in complete agony, cursing his life. His wife, Angelina Jolie, who's super famous also, turned the kids against him. Apparently, he goes to see them. He has monitored visitation. Tom, talk about humiliating, okay? Mom, whoever she is, squawks that the kids are in danger. Dad's violent. He's into drugs. He drinks. Immediately, she's got the kids, no problem. She could be doing almost anything. And you pick up your kids, and you have to actually pay a social worker or someone, from the government or even a relative to watch you with your kids to make sure you don't do anything inappropriate. Supervised visitation. Now, normally that's for heroin addicts, but here you have Brad Pitt, who, as far as I know, is a pretty upstanding person in the community. I don't think he's your average drug addict, okay?
No.
And he's so dangerous, a minute ago he was living with them, but now he's so dangerous to his children that there needs to be somebody watching him when he's with them, who then writes reports to the court, whether he said something or acted inappropriately. And by the way, this happened to Britney Spears, too. Okay, so it's not just a man thing, and it's not just poor people or whatever. It could happen to anybody, all right? But I think as a parent, that is so humiliating. I can't even begin to tell you to have to deal with that and to have to pay that person. And if this is what could happen to a rich guy like him, the rest of us don't have a chance. Now, the other nice little cherry on top, this is about 2 years ago. I went to court. And look and behold, who is in front of me? Lo and behold, it's Halle Berry. And Halle Berry lives in Los Angeles for a very, very long time. She separates from her baby daddy. And what is the first thing she wants to do? Well, she wants to move to France. Okay? Now, she has all these brilliant reasons or whatever. The law says that generally a move away like that would be appropriate if you have like a really special job lined up or something. She says that she needs to move to France to get away from the paparazzi who are taking pictures of her and her child and all this crap.
There's no paparazzi in France?
There's plenty in France. And by the way, it's not like she didn't know about it before. She's been living in L.A. for like years, but
right.
Whatever. So I have a theory, Tom. This is just between us. I think that the reason she wants to move to France is to get the kid away from the father, okay? What the woman wants to do generally is weaken the bond between the father and the child, be more with the kid all the time, get her new boyfriend or her new husband to be the father of the kid. And, you know, you see dad and, you know, every couple of months and then once a year and once every 2 years and, you know, on the phone, maybe on Skype, but basically really cut the father off. Anyway, so she went to court. That's what I saw her doing. And she had a big trial. It went on for weeks. And in the end, the judge actually decided that she couldn't move away with the child to France.
Nice!
That would have been detrimental to the child's connection to the father, which makes sense.
Wow.
So guess who suddenly, out of nowhere, decided, even though she grew up in Los Angeles, by the way, her father's a famous actor, and her mother was some kind of a model, guess who suddenly needs to move also to Europe, but to England this time? Angelina Jolie.
Look at that.
Yeah, she can't live in L.A. anymore. It's not good for the kids. It's not appropriate for her career, blah, blah, blah. So she wants sole custody so that she can pick up the kids and move to London.
Wow.
Isn't that nice?
Wow.
Now, I talk to women all the time that for some reason, as soon as they get separated, they have to move to Texas, they have to move to Florida, they have to move to wherever. But it seems to me that the main point of it, when you really, really boil it down, is to put some real distance between the father and the kids. And so they have a new boyfriend or whatever they're doing. He's the father. That other asshole just gets to pay child support. All right? And so now this is why she's carrying on with Pitt. Because she wants to get sole custody so she can uproot everybody and move to London to be the farthest away from him as possible. Even if he's a rich guy, he's busy, he's not going to see his kids very much. And that's the whole idea. And that is the basis of parental alienation. That's the whole background of it. I got to tell you, it's amazing to me. I did a case about 2 weeks ago, and the mother actually came and brought, like, all the kids with her. So it was, like, an 8-year-old and a 7-year-old. And then they had a 15-year-old. And they had, like, an adult child who was, like, 20-something. And she's sitting there in the hallway with the whole crew. And she thinks her plan was that the 7-year-old and the 8-year-old were going to testify. And they were going to tell the judge, I hate daddy. She had them all, you know, prepped up. I hate daddy. I don't ever want to see him again. And blah, blah, blah. And the father actually kind of, like, hadn't seen them in a long time and kind of walked over to them. And she, like, blocked him. And the kids were, like, you know, making faces at him and stuff. I mean, they were, like rehearsed, you know, to hate their father. Oh, it's so twisted.
Wow.
So twisted to see. And, you know, this is something, somehow, that women do almost instinctively. I mean, the first thing when they, you know, get separated and they start hating the guy is they say, you know, how can I really, really make this bad? How can I really stick it to him? And you know they're going to do it financially, and they're going to take the house and everything else you got. But then the belittling you as a father, you're a danger to the children. They always throw the sexual thing in. You know, you touched our daughter inappropriately, which is a nice, you know, kind of ambiguous thing, you know. And then their eldest child, who's was adopted apparently by her originally, and then Brad Pitt adopted that child as well. They tell the child, you know, the kid says to the father, you know, you're not my father. I don't love you. I mean, it's so hurtful. I just actually posted this on my Facebook. They did a study, you know, considering that men control everything and we're the ruling in the patriarchy. Apparently, men have a very high rate of suicide after divorce, much higher than women. Women are much more likely to have a support network with their girlfriends, and they can all commiserate. It's also shown, by the way, Tom, that women get over relationships a lot faster than men.
Well, I think it goes a step further. I think women know before they get married that this is a likely outcome, a likely scenario, and in their heads, they've already got the whole thing sketched out. The whole scenario.
So they're playing chess. They're 10 years ahead.
And there's no doubt. There's no doubt. This is why I'm a cut your losses kind of guy. Because if you hang around and you wait long enough, they're going to make the decision, not you.
Right, right. It's amazing that there's some kind of a theory about this I was reading, that because the woman's fertility is a shorter window, okay? So in other words, a man, let's say, could be fathering children into his 80s, you know? But a woman has got, like, you know, a good solid 20 years, and that's about it.
Right.
So biologically, it would stand to follow that a man could be depressed about a woman for 2 or 3 years because he's got more time to kill.
Right.
But a woman, if she's depressed about you, she better get over you fast.
Right.
Because she's got to find someone else to have a child with, because she doesn't
right.
have that much time. So women push the reset button, and like you say, they're in with this thing. They're like angry, and they turn the whole thing, and they bring the children, the one thing you're not supposed to do, and the law says you're not supposed to do, they bring the children into the dispute. They get them to take a side. Children, you know, especially their mother, they love their mother, you know, they're loyal to their mother. The relationship is a different kind of relationship than the father. And when you're talking about a very young child, especially, they're more typically attached to their mother as their primary caregiver when they're little, and the father usually kind of gets, you know, a bigger presence when they start looking at the world and when they get older. So when the kid is 6 and 8 and 12 or whatever, you know, he's a mama's boy or a mama, you know, kind of a girl attached to her mother more so. She tells him, your father's a monster. The kid starts to get confused. Well, maybe she's right. Maybe that's true, you know? And it's something that women are doing all over the place, and it's not particularly illegal. It's not something that's obviously meant to happen,
right.
But it's something that goes on, and I tell it to the court, and the judges shrug. I had a case where the mother literally tried to change the kid's last name. The kid had the father's last name, and the mother literally tried to change the name to disassociate the kid from his father, even with the name. And that, you know, the judge rejected that, but I said to the court, look what she's doing. Look how twisted this is. And it's greeted with a shrug. It's not considered particularly deadly.
Let's take a break here. We're going to come back. Adam Sachs is here with his weekly appearance here on our bonus hour. He's here to talk about family law with you. If you're thinking about getting divorced, separated, maybe you're already going through a divorce and, you know, maybe your attorney screwed it up. Maybe you've got concerns about child custody or child support or who knows, maybe restraining order, for God's sake. You'd hate to get one of those. Anyway, here's our phone number to talk to Adam right now. 901-3000-TOM. 901-3000-TOM. That's our telephone number. It's 901-3000-866.
Tom Likas, the Internet's most listened to call-in show. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
It's the Tom Likas Show. From the New Normal Studios in Burbank. And we are here with Adam Sachs. Family law is what we're talking about here. 901-3000-TOM. That's our number. 901-3000-TOM. Dial us now at 901-3000-866. Chuck is calling from Okinawa. You're not licensed to practice in Okinawa, are you, Adam?
Not really.
Okay. Chuck, you're on the Tom Likas Show with Adam.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, Chuck, what's up?
Nothing, just another wonderful day. And I'm not calling about Okinawa again, by the way.
Oh, okay.
So, don't worry, I'm not going to ask you to do any international craziness.
No, there's some rules that I can get special permission to practice in any court. So, who knows?
Oh, okay. That's cool.
So, what's going on?
So, anyways, my question is, just suppose for the moment that I was living in the States now, my ex-wife was still in Japan, and I had my son with me. When I get there, if I go there, I want to be able to affirm my custody in the States, but mostly because of some opportunities that might be available to me.
Right.
I want to make my sister a partial guardian. I don't know if that's the right word.
No. No, no, no. Okay.
No?
No, no. When you move and where you travel and so forth, if you have, for example, a final custody decree, from your case, let's say in Los Angeles, and you move to New York, you can take that decree and have it entered in New York, in court in New York, or vice versa. And then it would, you know, because the states are all part of the Union of the United States, they recognize each other's law. But I'm not sure what you're talking about with Japan and all this, but plucking your sister out of the air and making her a guardian or whatever, I don't know what's the theory here? What are you trying to accomplish?
Well, there's some jobs I'm looking at, and one of them, there's a stipulation that being a single parent is not, you can't be a single parent. So
what?
Yes.
No. No.
It's because the job can sometimes send you out of town and overseas.
I understand, but that's illegal. They can't
really.
They can't put that into a job.
Even for the U.S. government.
Are you talking about the CIA or something?
No. The Air Force, Department of the Air Force.
All right. Well, my impression. I mean, in spite of everything, I know that they have concerns about deployment and so forth, and they don't want your children being left alone or whatever. That they have proper guardians or other parents or grandparents or whatever. But if they said, for example, that you know you can't, as a single mother or a single father, get, you know, X job in the Air Force or the Navy or whatever, obviously that would be discrimination. How could they do something like that? They're literally saying, please apply for this job, you know, but no black people apply, or no single mothers. That's ridiculous. That's obviously discriminatory.
And by the way, just to be clear, they're not saying that you can't get the job. They're just saying that they want to have somebody who can take responsibility for the child if and when you have to leave.
Well, that's fair.
So,
but you don't have to make your sister a guardian. I think you might write in the box, if I'm sent overseas or deployed or whatever it is, you know, my child will be taken care of by my sister. That makes perfect sense.
So how does that work with, like, health care and stuff? So if I'm gone and, you know, somebody needs to watch him, she can just watch him and say...
No,
how does that work?
It's the same thing you do when you have, for example, like an elderly parent, okay? Or gay couples do this because they're not related if they're not married, for example. You know, especially before there was gay marriage. If you want, your mother, who let's say is old and in the hospital, can give you a health care directive where she gives you the right to decide for her what needs to be done. And so if she's, let's say, unconscious or she's in a coma, you can tell the doctors to, you know, stop giving her care and let her die, or you can approve surgery or whatever decisions need to be made as though she was doing it, but she wouldn't be able to because she's out cold. So in the same way, you could give your sister some kind of a directive that she is in the position of making important decisions with respect to your child when you're overseas or whatever. I mean, that's, you know, that's kind of what you mean, I guess, by guardianship or whatever.
You know. I just want to be able to say, you know, hey, this, you know, this is my sister, and she's, you know, this, she can take care of my kid while I'm gone. And I didn't know if there needed to be proof or some kind of legal document.
Yeah, I think that the directive thing I mentioned is a good idea. You know, it's like a power of attorney for health care. What concerns me a little bit is the mother. You said the mother is back in Japan.
Yeah, she's going to be staying here.
Okay, well, if she's the one who's around, then she's the, you know, after you, she's the other guardian, really.
Yeah, well, so that, and that's why I'm calling, because she's not going to be around when this all happens. And that's kind of the difficulty with Japan, is they don't have custody rules.
Right.
So when we got divorced, legally, it just says on the paper, okay, I'm the father, and I have a son.
Right.
And she's the mother, and I had two stepdaughters. I've called before, so don't make fun of me this time, but
You had married a single mother with two daughters?
Yes.
You listening to this, Tom? Tom,
I'm hearing every word.
Okay.
What can I do?
How did that work out?
It was years before I learned about the show in my
defense. Are you still close to your stepdaughters?
Hello?
Did we lose him?
I think we lost him.
Ow.
Well, he was calling from Okinawa. These things happen.
Far out.
Yeah.
So, Tom.
Yes.
That was interesting.
Well, it was. Now, I had a question for you. I want to ask you about something totally else.
Oh, okay, because I was going to tell you something totally else, but okay. Go ahead. Let me hear your question.
All right. My question is this. You know, we get all these guys who have called the show over time and have told us that they found out years down the line that somebody they dated had a kid.
Wow.
Now, is a woman who gives birth to a kid like that under any obligation to tell anybody that she had that kid, especially and, of course, including the father of the kid?
You know, Tom, when we started making women's liberation, as it were, the law, they really went off, okay? There were Supreme Court cases with respect to abortion, even particularly in the case of, like, a married woman. And they were saying, if a woman's pregnant and she's married, before she has an abortion, wouldn't it be right to notify the husband? And the more extreme would be to get the husband's consent, but leave that to even just tell him, right? And it was always decided, no, 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 no. And so in the context of this, it's the same craziness. A woman gets pregnant, has a baby, she has everything going on for her, everything. But if she wants to apply for child support, she can. But if she doesn't, and she doesn't tell the father, and these women then will even give the child up for adoption, for example, not even tell the father. And you as the father, you got this kid floating around somewhere that you don't know anything about.
Right.
And then she can years later tell you, oh, guess what? We had a kid and I gave it up for adoption. And you're like, what? Because normally the father has to consent. But she'll write on the papers, father, unknown. Or whatever.
Right.
And then, for example, again, you could have a woman who has an 8-year-old and suddenly applies for support against you.
Right.
And you're like, what the hell is this? You had a kid for 8 years, you forgot to tell me? I wasn't sure if it was yours, you know? It's like, what? It's crazy. We had the pendulum kind of swing too far the other way. I mean, I don't agree in the concepts that they have, for example, in like Saudi Arabia, where women have no rights. And the children are primarily, you know, the property, essentially, of the father. But at the same time, we're supposed to have some kind of equality and equity, but you see there's no push at all for the rights of men. It's all to favor women, and it's craziness.
And then, consequently, at the same time, we've got men who call here and say they can't find a doctor to give them a vasectomy.
Oh.
Because, like, they're married, they don't want to tell their wives. So,
right.
So, in other words, a woman can get pregnant, even by another man.
Right.
Could have an abortion.
A married woman.
A married woman, or
right.
someone living with you, or whatever.
Right.
Never has to tell you anything. But in the meantime, the doctor is demanding to know what your wife said about whether you can get your pee-pee snipped. Now, what is that?
That's sick. I know a doctor who's really good, and he will do it for anyone, no questions asked, and I've been pleading with him to advertise on the show, Tom. So
he would have a landslide of business coming in.
I think he needs the personal touch. I think you need to give him a call yourself and try to get him on board.
All right.
But they do exist, but what you said is also true. It's not only consent of your wife or whatever. A lot of times, particularly if you're a younger guy and you want to get a vasectomy like in your 20s, my understanding is a lot of doctors give you an argument. You know, are you sure? And, you know, you have to, like, give them this whole story, especially if you haven't had kids before, you know?
Right.
So they say, well, you might change your mind. You really want to do this, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And the guy's like, for Christ's sake, I don't need a therapist. I just want you to, you know, take care of what I asked, you know?
Right.
It seems very invasive. There actually is rules going the other way. They try to make laws that if a woman wanted an abortion, that she had to be shown pictures of a fetus. And they had to explain
That's
how, you know,
ridiculous.
Big it is. Yeah, but those are all struck down. Those are always struck down.
Right.
So on the other side, when a man gets a vasectomy, he's getting an argument from his doctor. How's that fair? It's not right.
Well, it's not. Besides the fact that what that man is looking to do is not going to cost the woman anything.
Yeah, of course.
She's not going to have any unexpected support payments or anything. On the contrary, she's less likely to owe child support if a man gets a vasectomy.
You have to realize that in our most basic DNA, no matter what you say, Tom, women have the desire to latch onto a man, and men have the desire to protect a woman. And that is something innate. And
not,
so,
not to me, just
okay,
for the record.
You're a special guy, and you also don't want kids, by the way, which a lot of people really want.
Right.
But when you talk about human, you know, just typical behavior, the legislators, whoever they are in the U.S. or other countries, at least theoretically, are trying to protect women. And women are seen as vulnerable and weak and in need of protection and care and whatever. And so the laws always get slanted this way. And like I said, in the U.S., we just went off. And there are starting to be now little incubators of new ways of thinking. That's something I wanted to tell you about, which is interesting. You know, Tom, I have seen divorce cases that have gone on for 5, 7, 10 years. And that really actually can happen, where people just go nuts. And can you imagine having a 2-year marriage and then having the divorce last for 6 years? I mean, just like endlessly.
Right.
Fighting over the property and the children, all kinds of crazy stuff, and on and on and on. And so, I mean, we see that it doesn't work. You see that the rates of marriage are plummeting. And people are starting to really kind of push back and say, this is crazy. This isn't suiting anyone. And so there are starting to be alternative suggestions. Certainly people try to do divorces with lawyers, but also with mediators. And there's a new idea, which I'm looking into, which is very interesting, which is called divorce hotel. Okay, so get this. Obviously, if you have a very, very acrimonious story, like Pitt and Jolie, this isn't going to work. But if you have a fairly normal divorce, and you own like a house, and you have two kids or whatever, and there isn't anything too dramatic going on, what the idea of this is that you go away from your city to a hotel, like a resort hotel. And you get there on like Friday, and they take away your cell phone, they take away your laptop, they don't want you communicating with the outside world. And you get a massage, and you get a manicure or whatever, you know, you get some nice amenities, you know, a little steam room type thing. And then the whole weekend, you're with mediators and lawyers, and you bang out your agreement and your divorce, and over the weekend, and by the time, you know, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday morning, whatever rolls around, you finished. So the idea is you have this weekend of being undistracted and focused and without your parents screaming at you and without the kids and without all the mess. And, you know, if you have this, you know, multi-trillion dollar marriage to deal with, but if you're more of a middle-class person, you can do this for a few $1,000s over this weekend and be done, rather than have it go on for years and cost, God knows, tens of thousands or more. And I think that this is going to be the wave of the future, because if something isn't done, I mean, guys are just opting out, Tom. You've seen this with MGTOW and some of these other things. I mean, guys are just saying the hell with it. Women are saying the hell with it. They're like just, you know, getting a sperm donor or whatever when they're in their 40s and having a baby on their own. I mean, the system is not really serving anyone, and you really see that. And so I think that the result is going to be this. There's going to be a difference. You know, my mom told me that years ago they used to wonder when she was a little girl whether we'd ever have a divorced president, whether America could tolerate that.
I remember that.
Yeah. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
And then we had, I think Reagan was the first.
Yes.
And that was like, you know, well, you know. But now you have Trump, and it's like, you know, three marriages, so what, you know?
Pussy grabbing.
The whole thing. Grabbing by the pussy, right? I mean,
right.
Why not? What's the difference, you know?
Yeah.
So you see how society sort of degraded.
Right.
Scandal isn't a scandal anymore.
I couldn't even imagine Reagan's wife having a pussy, and now we have a president who grabs pussy.
It wasn't the pussy. It was Reagan marrying, Reagan himself being divorced.
Yes.
That was a, what's the name of his first wife? I don't even know.
I don't know.
I know Nancy Reagan was the second wife.
Yes.
Yes, there you go.
Patty Davis Sr.?
I don't know. Patty Davis. But the point being that, you know, in that context, you know, the things that are considered very hard to accept,
Jane
hard
Wyman,
to believe.
Jane Wyman, I think.
Jane Wyman, okay.
Actress.
The idea that this being something really unacceptable, and then 10, 20 years later, it's like, you know, it's like gay marriage. Gay marriage is like, you know, fairly routine in our thinking today. Where was that?
Yes.
When I was in high school or whatever, that would have been unimaginable.
Yeah. Now I can't imagine a transgender.
There you go. That's no big deal either now,
not
apparently.
Yet. We got Chuck back in Okinawa. Chuck.
Oh, Chuck.
We lost you.
Hey, Chuck, I'm sorry about before.
Somebody called me and cut my line off.
Oh,
so.
Dear.
Nice.
So, Chuck, you were going to tell us, how did it, how do you have a relationship now with your two former stepdaughters?
I mean, they're both teenagers. You know, they only contact me when they need money, which I don't give them, by the way.
Isn't that sweet?
So I see them every once in a while, and you know, they still call me dad, and they're nice, but
really?
I can assure you they'll be fine without me. Yeah,
yeah.
they've been babied by their mother and protected by her the whole time we were together and before that, and they just, they have very little to look forward to in their future.
Well,
we'll put it that way.
That's a different story. I don't know, life in Japan is so positive right now. But when you look at the stepchild relationship, it's completely built into and dependent on the relationship with the parents. In other words, your relationship to her mother is your stepdaughter's connection to you. And so if you divorce her mother, you're not really connected to her anymore, hardly. So that's not a real parent-child relationship, because that's supposed to be unbreakable, you know?
That's right, yeah.
I don't know how people don't realize that. And I've seen cases where the father actually adopted the stepdaughter, and it still gets strained when they get divorced. And adoption's supposed to be permanent.
I actually thought about doing that, but...
Suicide.
As the... Yeah, well, luckily for me, as dumb as I was to get married, and I can tell you, you know, you guys are not wrong. Being with a single mother, it's a terrible idea. It's a waste of fucking time. You can never be a father to those kids, no matter how much they need it or how much she initially says she wants it. After you get in there, it's like, well, you know, hey, these are my kids. You know, don't give them rules and tell them.
God forbid you upset them or something. She's not going to take your side.
I know.
If you discipline them, and forget it.
Yep, and these are kids that I took out of Japan, took them to the States, taught them English, taught them American math, social studies. Both of them were top of their class in school.
Yeah.
One of them memorized the preamble to the Constitution and won an award in just a year. I did all that, and now I'm just some fucking guy. You know, it's a little luckily for me, when the relationship started to dwindle, I kind of pulled back a little bit, and I said, okay, I'm not going to go adopting kids, and doubling down, as you know, Tom would say.
Right.
I stopped the further doubling down, and then.
Well, in a way,
luckily for me, I got divorced over here.
Yeah,
so.
But you did double down because you had a child with the mother. That's her form of locking you in, having what's called, that's called an anchor baby. And so key to that is to draw you in, because your son is now the brother of the stepdaughters.
Yeah, and just to be honest, too, we planned to have the kid. That was not a mistake.
Sure.
It was not nothing like that. I really wanted to have a family for the longest time. I had that preconditioning, if you will, of being successful means a mortgage, two car payments, a wife and three kids, and a bunch of fucking misery, as I now know is actually the truth of the situation. So we actually planned to have the kid, and it, you know, and I'm happy I have the kid.
I understand.
If I can take a time machine,
it's a lot of investment with very little return. This thing that you're describing, where you're putting all of this effort into these kids that aren't yours, and you're being kind to them and good to them and spending money on them, their own natural father could care less. And then they don't even appreciate shit when they're older. So I don't know, man. That's confusing.
No, I completely agree. It's actually, you know, Tom says having a good marriage is like winning Powerball.
Oh,
well, having a good marriage with a single mother and a good relationship with the daughters is like winning the biggest Powerball of the decade, where everyone in the fucking country is going in at it.
No one's going to win.
It's so rare. I don't know anybody that did it, but
let me ask you another thing.
You married a
Japanese woman. Right.
Yes.
So how's that? How's, you know, because we've heard many times that one of the big solutions to the plight of the American man is to marry a foreign woman, or an Asian woman especially, right? So was she a submissive China doll?
No.
In a word, no.
And
Tom.
Actually,
no, I never believe that about Asian chicks. Never, not ever.
It might be true for Filipinas as long as they don't get Americanized.
Oh, right. How are you going to prevent
that? And maybe some
that?
Other. Yeah, keep them away from other Americans.
Sure.
Never leave their home country.
Yeah,
that's about it.
Lock them in the closet. Yeah, okay.
A lot of the guys I know here that are married to local Japanese women, it's always the same issue. They actually try to use their culture as an excuse to not let certain things happen. Best example, my ex-wife, when we would have friends come over, she didn't want them looking too relaxed on the couch. That's not proper in Japan. So I said, okay, everybody will sit on the edge of the couch and all straight up and proper. And I said, also, in terms of the culture, you're going to serve fucking tea and cake, right? And of course not. No, fuck no. She didn't want to do that part of it.
Right.
So it's a lot of little things like that.
She takes a Chinese menu, and she checks off the ones that she wants, right? Because in my culture, you're not supposed to sit in the couch and blah, blah. But then on the other hand, the other things that she's supposed to do with the tea ritual, nothing doing. She's not interested.
Yeah. It's all a very one-sided cultural perspective, so it's kind of bullshit. The good news for me over here, though, what I was saying before we got cut off is when we got divorced here, the divorce works as simple as I have a son, she doesn't.
Yeah.
On paperwork, she has no son. However, Japan is very nationalistic, and it would be very easy for her to reverse all of that because I'm an American and they don't give a shit about me.
Right.
They don't really have custody rules here. So even though I called before and asked about this and you had told me I'd got divorced in Japan, it's legal, so I'm divorced in the United States, and that's like the best news of a fucking lifetime. But the biggest thing I want to make sure that I do is when I come back to the States, I want to be able to affirm my custody, sole custody rights for the kid.
I think you should let that one slide.
If you
upset that hornet's nest, I don't know where that's going to lead. I mean, right now you have this settled, right? And everything's kind of the way it is, and you have your Japanese order. To start futzing around with the U.S. courts, who knows what could happen? They might give her custody, you know? So,
I guess my question would be,
I got mixed feelings about kicking that hornet's nest.
Okay. So, I mean, even though there's a very good chance that she would never show up in the States for a court hearing, I mean, she's pretty much fucking bipolar, which I think all women are, right?
Jesus, dude.
So on top of everything,
you got yourself a Japanese bipolar woman?
Well, of course, they all are. I don't know a woman.
Why do you need to
bipolar.
Live with somebody like that? Why?
And a single mother.
Well,
Jesus.
I don't, and I don't anymore, and I'm a strict Lycus 101 follower, and I live alone. I'm in my apartment all by myself right now. There's nobody coming here later except for myself, and that's the way it's going to be till the day I die, and I'm extremely happy alone. That's probably the best thing I learned how to do, and now it'll never change. So it's that simple, but what I was saying was is that she, most of the time, she is all about getting rid of him.
Wow.
She doesn't want the responsibility. She just wants to be, I guess the thing to say is she just wants all the little fucking cute moments and then all the responsibility, all the hard work. She needs me to do all that.
Wow. But who chose this person?
It was a very typical female on the other side. You know, she wants the upside and not the downside. She gets the credit,
so
you get the debt,
she's
right?
Gonna, yeah. I don't think she's going to put up a fight. I could be wrong, but I guess what I'm asking is if I did, once I'm living in the States, I'm living in the United States, my son is living in the United States, I mean, he's an American citizen already, if she doesn't show up, if we do go to court, if we do, you know, ask for full custody stamped on paper officially, which I don't actually have, something that actually says that, I mean, would they really, is there a chance they reward it to her just because they want to?
I think there's a lot of risk in this, and there's a lot of layers to it. So please call me after the show, and we'll talk about it. I don't want to give you a solid answer because it's complicated.
We'll hook you up with Adam. Dean will take care of that. 901-3000 Tom. That is our telephone number for Adam Sachs. When we come back, we'll tell you how to get in touch with Adam. We got some more calls. Don't go anywhere.
Coast to coast. Around the world. And across the universe. This is the Tom Likas Show.
The Tom Likas Show, the bonus hour at 901-3000-TOM. 901-3000-TOM to talk to the family law attorney, Adam Sachs. 901-3000-866. Adam, how can people get in touch with you?
Well, you can call me toll-free at 1-800-340-7320. That's 1-800-340-7320. Check me out on Facebook and also on the World Wide Web at www.adamlawyer.com. And you can send me email, which I love, and I answer personally, adam@adamlawyer.com.
Let's say hi here to, Troy in Plano, Texas. Troy, you're on with Adam Sachs. Hello.
Hello, Tom.
Why, hello, Troy.
Hey, Troy.
Hi, Adam.
What's up?
So, the other day, I got served with some papers about support modification the Attorney General.
Oh, dear.
And I acquired an attorney already, and I hope I got your twin brother, really.
Okay, it's possible.
It sounds pretty good. I had a decent, good meeting with him, and I feel really confident, and he even feels really confident working with me because I'm fully paid up on child support. I don't have any arrears, but I actually don't owe my ex-wife. Grandparents' children, which would be my ex-wife's father and mother.
Really?
So she also was ordered to pay child support. She's like $18,000 in arrears.
This is for your children that are living with her parents?
Right.
Wow. Well, how'd you let that happen?
Yeah, just that she was my wife at the time, and we were trucking across the country as over-the-road truck drivers, and we stopped at too many rest areas. All pick apart.
All right, but, I mean, if they're your children, you know, why do you want your former in-laws raising them?
Well,
that's kind of crazy.
Donna took my mom's advice that, hey, you know, just pay your legal responsibility and wash your hands of it. It'll spark your new life.
That's some cold shit, man.
That's what I did.
Okay.
So, yeah. So here I am. I got 3.5 years left remaining, and I get slapped with child support modification.
Well, it sounds basically that whatever you were paying, they are looking to get some more.
Right, but my attorney was going to go in and talk about why is it the modification and not an enforcement due to that the ex-wife is so far behind.
Well, that's obviously the two of you have maybe associated in one case, so you have two separate cases, but basically whether she's paying or not has nothing to do with you. You're supposed to pay, and it sounds to me like her parents are greedy fuckers, and they're trying to go back and get it raised.
Actually, the attorney general was asked.
All right. Well, they may have.
That's what I was told.
Maybe they went. You know, they do it on behalf of them, so the attorney general may have been notified by them that you got a raise or you got a promotion or maybe your company told them that or whatever. And so they're, you know, they have the right every few years to try to adjust the support upward to get more support.
Right. And the order said it could go up from 20% to $100.
Yeah.
But it was bad.
I'm a little heartbroken that you don't have a connection to your own children. That's crazy.
Well, there's more twist to that than you think. Because every time I would go pick them up with my, appointment time to go see him, my visitation, right? Next thing you know, after I dropped him off, I'd have the law one day knocking on my door, asking me all kinds of questions, a bunch of lies that the grandparents
That just
told.
Means that they're very spiteful people. But, you know, you never give up on your children. You just, I know it's very discouraging, and a lot of guys get very discouraged by that kind of thing, and they get tired of it and they say, I can't take it anymore. And I understand that. And maybe you take a break, but you never give up on your children. So that's something you should think about.
Well, kind of haven't seen them in like 7 years, so it's kind of a little late for that.
Well, I don't know. That might be something you can fix. But you should think about it. It's a big deal, and obviously if you don't want to pay more support, then you got to fight back, and it sounds like you got yourself a good lawyer, so you're on the right track.
All right.
Thank you. By the way, he's doing a great job, I want to say.
Listen,
I know you're doing great.
Listen, that's painful stuff, Tom. It's very harsh. A lot of guys, like you see what happened, we're talking about crazy Brad Pitt. You know, you've been accused, you pick up the kids, they don't want to see you, they're angry, the mothers turn them against you. A lot of guys say, you know, I'm giving up on this, I can't take this anymore. But that, if
why spend your life fighting over this?
I understand, but if you think about it, that's horrible. That's a horrible choice. And he's saying he hasn't seen his kids in 7 years or whatever. That's horrible.
Yeah. You know what?
You were talking about the guy that doesn't know he has a kid and the woman's out there with his kid.
Right.
Here you have a guy that does know he has kids. That's horrible.
That's why I tell the guys not to have kids.
Okay, I'm with you there, but once you've done it and you do have kids, you gotta, you know, gotta...
Yeah, but if you've given up, I mean, clearly he's given up.
Yeah, that sucks.
So, yeah, but you say it sucks, but you know what? You have one life. You want to spend your whole life grieving over not being able to see your kids? Yeah, you got involved with a dipshit crazy. And when things didn't work out, she kept you from seeing your kids or said you'll have to pay more to see them or things like that. You know what? It's the kind of thing I would do. I hate to tell you. I would do it too.
You're a cold guy,
check out.
Tom.
You know what? My life comes first. My enjoyment of my life comes first.
Well, I respect that, but I mean, come on. It's too much.
Tell me why.
Okay. I respect a lot because you didn't want to have kids. And you didn't.
I didn't.
And
I know.
And that's cool.
Right.
And you made a decision. And you had a wife who pressured you.
Right.
And you backed off of her.
Right.
I respect that. This guy was with a woman and did have kids with her. Okay? And the fight isn't even with her. It's with her frickin' parents or something. But whatever. If you have children out there, you don't know where they're sleeping, if they're okay, if they're having problems, and you don't give a shit, that's wrong. That's sad.
Well, if I've been kept from seeing the kids and I have to spend the rest of my life in court going back and forth, there comes a point where I just say I'm cutting the ties here. I'm cutting my losses here.
I think you should have to go pretty far before you get to that point.
Well, and as I've always said, by the way, if somebody came at my front door and they had somebody and they said, this is your kid, I'm not answering the door. I'm letting you know right now.
I
don't want you to be disappointed. I'm telling you in advance.
Yes, I think I heard this before.
I don't want anyone trying it. Ever.
You're all heart, Tom. You're all heart.
I do what I got to do. Seriously. Somebody went ahead and had a kid without my permission, without my consent.
Yeah, it's wrong. It's
without
crazy.
My cooperation.
If you
it's
think
not my kid.
You
that's
somehow
their kid.
Suggesting that I agree with that. I don't agree with that. But if it's your kid, it's your flesh and blood, for Christ's sake, you're going to slam the door in the kid's face?
Yep, because I did not consent to that. I like my life the way it is. I don't want to change it. And that's how I feel about it.
Okay.
That's it.
What's more intense than them knocking on your door is this guy that apparently knew his kids and had a connection to them of some kind and the mother and everything, and then just loses that and that slips away and he just forgets about them or some shit.
It happens with friends.
It's not with relatives. It's not like losing
these
a dog, okay? Come on.
But these things happen.
I know. It happens. It's sad.
It is sad. But
thank you for that, by the way.
It is sad, but this guy did what he had to do to enjoy the life he has and not to spend his life being miserable all the time because of something he can't control. And he can't control it. That's the reality. Let's get Frank. Frank is calling from Boston. Frank, you're on the Tom Likas show with our friend Adam Sachs.
Hello, Tom. Hello.
Hey, Frank.
Adam.
What's up?
How are you?
How you doing?
So I'm calling, this is a little, like, urgent, because I'm calling about my little brother, who's my half brother, and my mom is raising him in West Africa, and basically, she had a kid with a man from in Europe, and I know this man, but the problem is that I don't think my half brother is being raised properly, because she is pulling the kid all the way in Ghana, which is like 300 miles far away from where she lives. There's a rule in France, it's not West Africa, where you cannot be away, you cannot be like more than 30 miles away from your kid.
Right.
And I really do not agree with it, and I know she's going to France.
So wait, so your mother left your brother in Ghana?
That's what she does. She leaves the kid in Ghana.
With who?
And then she comes back. And then she goes to him like once every...
I understand, but when she leaves him in Ghana, who does he stay with?
He stays in the school.
No, but I mean... Oh, in a boarding school.
I wouldn't call it a boarding school because that's all the way it is. It's really run down. Like, I mean, we're talking about the third world. You know what I mean? And
right.
I do not think... And the kid apparently can be a soccer prodigy.
Really?
And I do not think that's the way of raising the kid. So I want to know if it's possible for when she goes back to France and she's trying to go out of France with a kid that somebody stops her and say, I'm sorry, you can't do that. So I care about my little brother.
She's free to travel. You know, your brother has to be more assertive. Your brother has to demand his rights as a father. And if he doesn't...
He's 12 years old.
No, I was talking about the father of the child.
Oh, the father of the child.
Did you say that the father of the child is your brother?
No. So, my mother has a kid who is my half-brother.
Right.
And the father of this half-brother, I don't know him, but I know who it is.
Okay.
So he dated mom.
Right.
Yes,
so
he dated mom.
I understand. So the 12-year-old is your brother.
Yes, half-brother.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. I understand.
So now
so
the
where
is
he, where is his father?
His father is in either Germany or France.
I mean, the person who needs to intervene is him, you know? There are lots of countries, I don't know about Ghana in particular,
but
there are lots of countries like England, for example, where children go to boarding school. I mean, when you're 13 or 14, you go to boarding school and you spend the next 4 years, you know, living in a different part of the country, and your parents visit you during the summer or whatever. And so, I mean, if your mother put your brother into some kind of boarding school, as long as he's not getting, you know, beaten up or anything, if it's a normal school, I mean, that's her choice. And the person who would object...
The school is just not appropriate. Like, you would go there, you would just know that that's not an appropriate...
Well, I don't know
school.
What the standard is in Ghana. Maybe it's different, you know? But the person who needs to intervene and to make a change would be the father of that child, who maybe you want to talk to or whatever. I mean, if he's in Germany or whatever he's doing, the child would have to be in some kind of real danger, you know? I don't know exactly what's not appropriate about the Ghana school, but, you know, assuming it's just a regular school and the kid goes there and goes to classes, I mean, you'd have to have some kind of real life-threatening type thing where he's, you know, being sexually abused or beaten up or something's really wrong there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure.
Is it possible to ask another question?
Okay.
So I have this friend who is going to be, he just signed a big deal, like $2.5 million for a screenplay. And
right.
He knows he's going to be, like, out there because he's going to play in his movie. And he's actually, like, I turn him to this show, but he's actually scared of, like, women now because he knows that they're going to come to him and he wants to wear, like, a camera, just anything. Because
all right.
Anything can happen.
Why don't you have him call me?
It's because of the money. So
There are, like, what the police use, you know, there are these little pens that are actually a camera. Or these little tiny cameras you can wear on your lapel or whatever. And
but
so
is Tom saying to us, do not have sex with women? Because basically
no.
It's impossible.
No, I'm saying don't have sex without a condom.
Right.
Don't marry. Don't let them move in. Don't have baby moms.
So, but the woman wants to move. I see them all the time. They have like boyfriend, and then 2 months or 2 or 3 months later, they start moving in with the family.
Of course.
It's crazy.
And it's up to men to say no.
And then if you say no, then she's going to be like, okay, I don't want to be with you.
Perfect.
And then you just like...
That's perfect. Yeah. I already got what I wanted, good darling. I've already seen you naked, already had hot, blazing hot sex with you.
But doesn't it take a long time to get to the next woman?
Not necessarily. That's why you always have to have a bullpen.
But then if you tell me those celebrities, they won't get in trouble by going out with so many. I don't think, like, for example, Derrick Rose, I don't think he would go out with so many women. Because,
why would you think that?
Why not?
Ever heard of the basketball player named Sean Kemp?
He would get in trouble.
How many kids does Sean Kemp have?
I'm not sure.
A lot, by a lot of different women.
No, but they're stupid. What they did is stupid. Okay, like
right.
I'm saying what prevents a woman from saying that you raped her or you sexually harassed her if you're a celebrity? Your name is tarnished. By the time they figure out that everything was false, you're losing your endorsements. You're losing all.
Are you a celebrity? That would be different advice.
I'm talking on behalf of my friend.
Have your friend call me. I think that the really big celebrities have advisors and they have agents and they have a lot of people protecting their image, you know? And I know that they definitely have fixers that when some woman's carrying on, they go over and lay some money on her and make her shut up, you know?
By the way, Sean Kemp, for the record, Sean Kemp has 7 kids with 6 women.
Beautiful. That's something to aspire to.
I wouldn't want to give any money to any liar or woman. You see what I mean? I didn't do any. If I don't do anything bad, why should I give you it 1 cent?
And then at the top of your list should be getting a vasectomy.
Okay, getting a vasectomy and putting the sperm in like a bank and then paying every year. But I heard there's complications with vasectomies.
No, I'm not really aware of that. It's a pretty safe procedure.
Yeah.
The complication is getting a woman pregnant.
Frank, thank you for the call. I appreciate it. Let's get one more in here. James in San Diego. Say hi to Adam Sachs.
Hello, Adam. Hi, Dad.
Hey, James.
Hi, son.
Oh, man.
What's up?
I fucked up. Got a girl pregnant.
Uh-oh.
Our son is 11 months old right now.
Were you using the pull-out method?
Yeah, no.
No method.
Nope, he went right in and stayed in.
That's nice.
Yeah, fucking Latina pussy, man. That shit's wet. And
so did you want to have a child?
No, not specifically. No, I didn't.
And that sounds like a no.
Yeah, no.
So the kid is now 11 months, and she hates your guts.
And you doubled down, because you're still there.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah, well, a month ago, I told her after 2 years of just fucking bullshit, I mean, everything from falsely calling the cops on me to her. I'm in San Diego. She took off to Long Beach for 2 weeks with my son.
Oh, there you got it. You got a nice dramatic one.
Oh, she's so fucking dramatic. She's 24 years old. So.
Oh, there you go.
And you moved in with her, right? You moved in?
I moved her in, yeah.
When
she got pregnant, I moved her in.
That's called doubling down.
Right.
I know. I've been fucking up for 2 years now. And I fucked up before that. I was on house arrest for a little bit. And soon
house
I got
arrest?
Off,
whoa. What house arrest?
Well, I got a DUI.
There you go. Drinking problem, too. That's nice.
Yeah.
So can I ask you an honest question, seriously?
Of course.
Do you hate yourself?
Yeah, right now I'm pretty down on myself.
Okay, so what you got to do right now is you got to stop it, okay?
Yeah.
You're spiraling in a very, very negative thing, having the kid or this crazy girl who's torturing you, getting a DUI, et cetera, et cetera. You need to
I understand.
I'll talk to you also after the show, but I'm telling you now, you need to go for a walk and think about your future, okay? And pull yourself together and promise that you're going to cut the BS, okay? Life is amazing. There are so many great things that you can do. There are so many interesting things and places to go and all kinds of great women out there and food and wine and sights to see, and you're pissing it all down the drain for no reason, okay?
I see that shit now, and she's taking my money.
Fuck her. Listen, you got to stop it before it gets any worse, Okay.
That's what I need to do that. A month ago, I told her, you got to get a job and you got to get the fuck out.
She's not going to do what you tell her to do.
You got to knock it off with her. I'm talking about you.
Okay.
She's never going to do what you tell her to do, so forget about
Maybe
that.
Maybe just the opposite, actually.
Right. She's the boss. Yeah. She's driving the bus now.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep, she is, and that, I need help. I need representation. I need to get this shit squared away because this bullshit where we're talking, oh, we'll just fucking do things cordially is not working.
She's trying
to fuck me every single way she can.
You know, Tom, I'm always amazed how many guys tell me they have a crazy woman who's driving them up the wall, but they don't have to go to court because they're going to do everything like on a handshake cordially.
Right.
Bullshit, okay?
No, it is bullshit. I don't want to do that.
A crazy broad who's crazy when you're with her, when you start getting like whatever separated and she has a new boyfriend and all this, she's going to be 100 times more crazy. And if you've got yourself a one-year-old, a child that's less than 1 year old, and you think you're going to get it straight for the next 17 or 18 years on a handshake, you're kidding yourself. Okay? You're going to need court orders, believe me.
Yes.
Trust me.
I appreciate you guys on such a deep level. Everyone is giving me bad fucking advice. My dad, even my own fucking dad, is trying to tell me, oh, you don't need an attorney. Just go use the arbitrator at court. I'm like, no, bullshit. I need help. I need official help. I emailed you right before I called. I wasn't sure
if the bonus
hour was over or not, but I sent you an email right before I called, and then I heard it was going on, so I called. And
I will check my email and I'll call you back. But before I do or whatever happens, I need you to clear your mind and to promise yourself that you're going to knock this off. You're on a bad path, and you've got to stop it. Please, for your own sake, you've got to stop it. You've got to make a commitment. People say, well, I'm hiring a lawyer, I'm doing this, and none of that's going to help you if your head isn't clear, okay? So you've got to stop and take a breath, and before your entire life is down the drain, you got to say, I love myself, I want to help myself, I'm not going to let this bitch ruin my life, and I'm going to find a way out. You see? It's crucial.
Yes.
Please start thinking that way.
I will start thinking that way, and I will listen to the advice of you guys, and that's why I'm calling. You know, I was nervous about calling the radio, and I mean, I'm sorry, not the radio, the show.
No problem.
And I want to be better.
Sounds good to me.
All right, we're gonna make sure you get in touch with Adam and start to try to turn all this around. James, good luck. Adam, how can people get in touch with you?
You can call me toll-free, 800-340-7320. And it just goes to show you, Tom, you really do change lives, Tom.
It's pretty amazing. When these calls come in, I'm kind of blown away.
I'm very often confronted with guys that are just absolutely flailing around crazy. And they say, I know I'm not supposed to do this. Tom said, blah, blah, blah. And if they can just get on track with what you've always told them, then they're going to be okay.
Pay attention to yourself.
Damn right.
You got one life.
Only one.
All right. Adam will be back, by the way. If you didn't get a chance to call in, don't worry. There'll always be another Adam Sachs bonus hour. The next one's coming up Tuesday at 6 p.m. Pacific time, 9 p.m. Eastern time.
Free at TomEverywhere.com. Download the Tom Likas app. Now, 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
From the New Normal Newsroom, it's news for guys. I'm Gary. He's Dino.
Yes.
Your boy Ye got put away.
Yeah, he might have caused a little problem at his doctor's office. They had to call 911 there, personal.
Yeah, word might be that it was a 5150. He reported that Jim Jones, 39 years old, 5'8", 175 pounds, was suffering from temporary psychosis due to sleep deprivation and dehydration. What did your boy get into? They're trying to explain it away as he's been working hard. I don't know.
I just feel bad for, you know, Jim Jones.
Right.
He was blamed.
Right. That's bullshit. Your boy's in UCLA Medical Center. And the report goes on to say, apparently, that his doctor told police that Kanye had attempted to assault a staff member at the gym.
he saw this coming, too. The doctor said, listen, it's not that he's doing anything now, but when you guys show up, it's going to be a problem.
Right. The sleazy doesn't go easy.
No. I like it. I still am pissed off at the Jim Jones thing. I am.
You're stuck on the Jim Jones. As if the name Jim Jones isn't kicked around enough.
It is, because he came out with a great song called We Fly High. We Fly High. And then there he is, doubling as Kanye. I don't like it.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens with that. Execs at Tidal fired a new mother the day after she requested a private room to use her breast pump, according to a new lawsuit.
Wow, did they not fool around if that's true?
This, of course, is Jay's company.
Yeah.
And
Desiree said she was retaliated against for requesting a private pumping station. And according to her suit...
just told to use the bathroom.
Yeah, which is, she said, no way.
She wanted a private pumping station.
Yeah.
Is that required by law? I mean, can she sue for this?
I'll tell you what, we're about to find out.
Yeah.
Right, why not use the bathroom?
She's suing for sex and pregnancy discrimination.
We'll see what's going to happen. I mean, you could make any claims you want.
Madonna's 16-year-old son apparently reported busted for weed in London. What?
Simpson.
How you going?
Need to help here.
That's Rocco Ritchie,
yeah,
my friend.
The Rock.
That's right.
He allegedly threw something away when police approached him. After searching, cops found a small amount of weed and then promptly arrested him.
Your boy was just walking down the street smoking weed in public view.
Yeah. By the way, that's dumb. I mean...
Yeah, it's just stupid. I mean, if it's illegal, it's just stupid. Right?
Yeah, I hope he doesn't believe he's untouchable.
I'm sure mommy gave him quite the ego.
G'day, how are you going?
Right.
G'day, how are you going?
His mom and his dad are famous.
That's the English Paul.
That's real Paul, actually.
G'day, how are you going?
That's real.
Different thing altogether.
Original Paul, OP.
Yeah, right. Finally, a pig alert for you. It's Kendall Schuler. This is a broad who used to date Leo DiCaprio.
Oh, man, is she good.
She's a model, and she's Australian, and she's topless at a beach.
Yeah. She's got big nipples.
She's got big areolas and big nips.
Yeah, yeah.
And small titties.
Yep.
With a birthmark on the lower left titty.
All of which I would say...
All of which you can see.
Of course.
Yes, of course.
Yes. The answer is yes.
Yes, serve it up. Plenty more news for guys.com, and of course you can find our podcast at GaryAndDino.com. From the New Normal Studios in Burbank, we're back to the Tom Likas Show right after this.
This is the New Normal.